Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application for women to untangle the lies they believe and pursue the passion God has placed in their hearts. I'm Lisa Granger. The world celebrates Easter with chocolate bunnies, Easter egg hunts, and baskets. The church celebrates Easter with lilies, sunrise services, and crosses. But how do we celebrate Easter the rest of the year? Our guest today is Denise Pass, and she shares how Easter is special to her and how Jesus' death and resurrection is a powerful gift meant to change the way we live every day. Jesus is our living hope. And for more hope found in Scripture, I have some free verses of hope on my website. Head to lisagranger.com or the link will be in the show notes. I am so excited today. I have a friend with us, and we are going to dive into all things Easter. So thanks so much for joining me today, Denise.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's so good to see you again.
Yes, it is very good to see you, and I am really looking forward to this conversation. And I always like to ask, just so our audience gets to know you a little bit better, to tell us a little bit about yourself and something fun that isn't normally in your bio.
Okay, a little bit about myself.
Yes. I know there's a lot.
My life is full. I homeschooled for 23 years. I have 5 kids. And my favorite food, well, I shouldn't say favorite, but one of my favorites is peanut butter pizza.
Peanut butter pizza, huh? How does that go with a pepperoni? I don't see that as a good combination.
Skip the pepperoni.
Okay.
I was living in California as a kid, and they had this California pizza restaurant. And you just put peanut butter on it, tomato sauce, cheese.
Huh. Oh,
my favorite.
Okay. Well, you enjoy that. you enjoy that. Yeah. Well, I know a lot more about you. You are actually working on your PhD. So thank you for taking a little break from all of your studying. And I know you're also the author of Make Up Your Mind and Shame Off You. You're the founder of your ministry is Seeing Deep Ministries. And you're a Christian singer and a songwriter and a worship leader and podcaster, Bible reading plans, and just all around amazing, amazing woman and mom. So you have a whole lot going on. So we really appreciate your taking the time out to talk about Easter, which is here. We are here at Easter time, and I am really looking forward to diving into this. So just to kind of start out, I know Easter is kind of important to you as well. So why is Easter so important to you?
Oh, wow. You know, I remember when I was 19 years old and I would go to church thinking I knew God. I don't know if I really thought I knew God. I just thought I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And 3 mornings in a row, my radio alarm clock changes from a classic rock station to a Christian station. And I'm like, what is this? I'm not listening. That was morning 1, morning 2, morning 3. I said, I have to listen. And I gave my life to Christ and for the first time understood. And, you know, we can't understand the gospel unless we ask God to help us understand. And that's what I did that morning. And that's why I do all the things I do. It isn't for any other reason than I have the greatest news in the world, and I want everybody to know about it by any means possible.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And you definitely have a powerful testimony about how Christ has worked in your life in many, many different ways, good, bad, and some ugly as well.
Yeah.
So tell us some of those times where Christ has really been powerful.
You know, I think we enter as a Christian a little bit naive. You know, I know that was me. I thought, well, now I'm Jesus' girl. Life's going to be perfect. And I didn't realize my hope was really on that for many years. It's I belong to Jesus and things are going to go smoothly for me. And so when I found out that I was married to a sex offender after 14 years of being married and my life was flipped upside down, devastated, court for 5 years. When you talk about the ugly, that was horrific.
Yeah.
And the Lord showed me my hope was in the wrong place. It was supposed to be in a perfect Savior and a hope that all that we go through down here on this earth that we really didn't expect.
Yeah.
you know, that he's going to redeem that. He's going to use that. And so I didn't want it to be a part of my story. I liked the story of homeschool mama, loves Jesus, sings on Sunday. There you go. But
yeah,
this testimony now is what he is using to help heal others. Yes. If we're willing to let it be stewarded in that way. And so there's been so many, I know you can relate, so many things we go through we didn't want to go through, would not have volunteered to go through.
No.
But that becomes our testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think you're right in that a lot of times we can go, oh, okay, yes, I'm a Christian now. And we kind of look at God like Santa Claus or a vending machine. Mm-hmm. And we say, yeah, I'm going to worship you as long as I get what I want. Right. And we paint this beautiful picture of what we think life is going to be. And that's not even in what is in Scripture. Because Scripture is very clear that, oh, we will be tested. We will go through some really rough patches and that we're to expect it. But as you said, our hope is in Him, not in our circumstances and not in the people. And that's where we're really able to help somebody because, two, how many times have you gone to somebody for advice because everything is perfect in their life because then they can't relate to what you're going through.
Right.
I think you definitely hit on some of that. And I know one of the reasons why I asked you to come and speak to Easter is that hope that we have in Christ is a special hope because it's different than anyone else's. And I did want you to come on because I definitely value your information and your knowledge of the Bible. And Easter makes all the difference in the world for any of the religions because our Savior is alive. He was dead, but now He's alive. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, our hope is alive.
Yes.
You know, it isn't dead. We have a risen Savior. And I think sometimes in Christ, we use terminology and we kind of grow accustomed to it. And so I think part of the problem is today we're forgetful people. We do forget that this is a very different holiday. It isn't just a holiday.
Yes.
It is remembering when the God of this universe intersected, came into human form, and laid down His life for His own people. And so I think we can grow accustomed to holidays to the point that they become religious observances and we forget how special they are.
Yeah, I think so. We get sidetracked with all the baskets and the Easter eggs and the Easter bunny and the chocolate that I will be able to eat. And I gave that up for Lent. And but even giving up something like chocolate for Lent and looking forward to Easter so I can eat chocolate freely is just such a small thing because it's not like I'm starving. But anything that we can do to remember just a little, that's not even remotely close to the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. And I love how it's He came to us and that we have a God that seeks after us. He comes to us to pursue that relationship. And to me, that is just, it's hard to wrap your brain around.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful word that you use there to pursue.
Yes.
Those who were enemies of Him.
Yeah.
Who violate His commands, who put our reasoning above God's.
Yeah.
He pursues us.
Yeah.
And that will never, I hope, never be something that we lose sight of and are not amazed at.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. It can very easily get lost. And I love talking about this. I was able to go to the Holy Land last year. And there's actually two different locations. There's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is where predominantly Catholics will go and worship. And that's where they think the site of the crucifixion and where the tomb and the resurrection was. But then there's the Garden Tomb, which is predominantly kind of like the Protestant one. And I loved when we were able to visit both in there. I think they are both very meaningful and they are both very, very powerful places. For me, the Garden Tomb, what struck me, one, it was next to a bus depot, which was a little disappointing. But when they said there's really no proof, it makes sense to them that that's where the crucifixion happened, because it was typically done along a very busy road and such. But they made a point of saying the real important thing is that he isn't here. There's no proof as to which location may or may not be the correct one. And both locations may be incorrect in the actual location as to where it happened. But the important thing was, or is, that he's not there. They're not going to find any bones because he's alive. And that is the main point. And that really struck me in that. And can you talk some more about that?
Yes, he's alive. And we proclaim this on Easter morning. We all will say that. But I think it gets lost on us because the culture has turned it into a pagan holiday, right? Mm-hmm. And it has become one of these things, just sort of like Santa and Christmas, like we alluded to earlier. Yeah. And also because we don't really understand, I don't think, sometimes what Christ really did. We know the terminology.
Yes.
And so I think it's helpful to kind of go into a little deep dive, if you will.
Yes.
About what this means. So to understand Easter, we need to go back to the beginning and briefly unpack why God chose to come and die on behalf of his people. Mm-hmm. So we know from the account in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God. And in that moment, they chose their thoughts over God's, their reasoning over God's, they rebelled. Mm-hmm. And death was not a thing before they made that decision to rebel. And so in Genesis 6:5, we see a depiction of man's state before a holy God. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We see this also in Jeremiah 7:19 or verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately sick. Who can understand it? So we're in a desperate situation. You know, and there is no way to rectify that. No way, because we are a sinful people.
Yeah.
But God.
Yes, but
throughout
God.
Scripture, we see this theme of our Savior coming to give us a new mind and a new heart. We see this in Ezekiel 11:19, Ezekiel 36:26, Jeremiah 31:33, Hebrew 8:10, for just a few, where it talks about this new heart and this new spirit. And so how was this to be accomplished? And I love this verse recently I talked about on my Bible Tribe podcast. It's a daily Bible reading plan. Isaiah 25 verses 7 through 8. We catch a glimpse of this salvation. It says, on this mountain, he will swallow up the shroud that is over all the peoples, the woven covering that is over all the nations. He will swallow up death completely and permanently. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Indeed, the Lord has announced it. So what is this shroud covering all the peoples and nations that God is going to swallow up? It is the Hebrew word lut, which is the basic meaning of it is to conceal or to cover. Okay. And this covering, it's not a protection. This is death covering all that exists. And some Greek equivalents of this term in the New Testament include in John 19:40, the strips of cloth that were used in preparing a corpse for death. And the term othonion depicts the burial cloth that covered our Lord,
okay,
which the disciples found in the empty tomb in John 20, verses 5 through 9. It says he bent down and saw the strips of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who had been following him, arrived and went right into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been around Jesus's head, not lying with the strips of linen cloth, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first came in and he saw and believed. But they did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Christ swallowed up death and defeated it. Mm. Jesus removed the burial cloth and he removed death from his people. In Romans 8:3, we see that Jesus became a sin offering on behalf of his people. It says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. you know, different translations render that differently, but this sin offering is such a picture of him who is holy coming and saying, I'm willing to become sin for you, to be an offering on your behalf. How is that?
Yeah.
You know, and we look at Hebrews 2, one more passage you want to read, 14 through 18, it shares why he came. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So I don't know about you, but a lot of my life, I've been afraid of death, even as a Christian. And I think we kind of avoid the topic, right? You know?
Yeah, we do.
Other people are going to die. Ooh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And it's happening to us all. Mm-hmm. But scripture says that the soul who sins will die. And it says that the cost is the wages of sin is death. So we can't avoid it. But here's why we celebrate Easter. Here are the implications for us of what Christ accomplished and what we now call Easter. Our sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you've done in your life, if you are willing to come and say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. It is as if they have never happened. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. Our debt has been paid. Past sins, future sins, present sins.
Yeah.
His resurrection is proof that life does not end at the grave. Number two, we will live forever. Romans 6:5 says, if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. And number three, the resurrection impacts how we live right now.
Yes.
I think sometimes we think about, okay, yay, I'm going to heaven. I got my going to heaven ticket. But we have resurrection power. We have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what that is, please email Lisa and ask. Ask her to explain. Email me if you want to. But we have power to live a life that is faithful to our God because of what he accomplished. Mm-hmm. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, this is Romans 6:4, we too walk in newness of life right now.
Yeah.
And number four, we will have no more guilt for sin. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I can beat myself up pretty good.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so that is something that we can do, but the blood of goats in the Old Testament couldn't accomplish this, but the blood of Christ could. It's the only blood that could, because he's the one we answer to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he laid down his life for us if we will just put our faith in that. So right now we live in this paradigm of a fallen world, and we will experience pain and suffering, and it doesn't make sense. And so often people will accuse God. But God didn't accuse us. He came and paid our sin debt so we would be forgiven. And so we can live in this paradigm like Christ did. We have the mind of Christ. We can ask God to help us to walk as he did. This is the message of Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that he is alive and that power is with us now. I love how you pointed out this isn't just so that we can go to heaven.
Right.
This is, yes, we do. That's the reward for later, and why we don't need to fear death. It is as scary as it may be because it's unknown to us as humans. It's hard to wrap our brains around it, even though Christ talked about it. But that it's for here and now as well. Mm-hmm. It's so that we can live differently. Now.
Yes.
It can make a difference in our lives now. And I love how you pointed that part out.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I know one of the things as women, one of the things I like to point out is that Mary, a woman, is consistently shown as one of the first ones at the tomb. Because mm-hmm. the women are the ones that get up early and take care of this sort of stuff. But the big deal is that back then, women weren't allowed to testify because they were considered unreliable witnesses. Mm. And it's, I remember it being pointed out that that was kind of a big deal for that to be in the Gospels. I don't think we realize almost how scandalous that was. You mean a woman is the one that told you this? Why would he show himself to a woman first? And that lends more credence to it. So I'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Well, you know, I think man makes their rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we look in the Old Testament, we see the Jewish people who had a relationship with Yahweh, and it became more of an ethnic identity than an ethical one. And you see where God shows them time and time again, oh, by the way, you know me so you can make me known to others, and you're supposed to not be judging your foreigners. You're abstain from their sinful choices they make, but you're to reach them.
Yeah.
And so we see time and again, we see Ruth, we see Esther, you know, we see Rahab, we see the Samaritan woman in the New Testament, but Jesus came and he broke down those barriers because they are a wrong paradigm, wrong way of thinking. And so I believe, you know, even just in the choice of Mary being the one, I mean, it wasn't saying women are better than men either. People can go to opposite extremes.
Yeah. But
there was this great, women were really put down in that culture.
Yes.
And so it was, you matter to me. You know, there is no, in my sight, women are better or men are better. And so he broke down those barriers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how he included them in the parables. And it was to basically restore them to a place of equal honor standing. I think it was to bring them up from a low place of shame to a place of honor, but being on equal footing as far as their worth and value and their place in the story. Because, there's so many stories or parables that would be talked about that really only included men, but Jesus included women in that so that everyone had a place in the story, just like we do now. I think we all have a place in the story. And one of the other things I've noticed in kind of rereading some of the stories and going back in the accounts is how often what Jesus went through, he can relate to us. And that he understands, and that he is that perfect priest. And I would love for you to, you know, how can we really trust him? Because he understands us and what he went through.
Yes. Well, he was willing to walk through suffering to get to us.
Yeah.
The suffering we so often want to avoid. And he fulfilled every aspect of what was required.
Yes.
And, you know, in the face of being mocked, you know, he could have called down 10,000, as many angels as he wanted to. And he chose in humility to walk through what all of us would seek to avoid. And he's the faithful high priest. You know, you see in the Old Testament, you often see high priests who failed, obviously, in their task. But you see the perfect high priest in Christ. So I'm just so grateful he showed us how to live.
Yes.
He set an example. And I remember when I was a young Christian, well, how does that help me? I mean, he's perfect. But he also gives us grace and he gives us the Holy Spirit. And all this research I've done recently where we have the mind of Christ, it's interesting that there's an imperative, you know, and there's a command, have this mind of Christ. And then there is this, you have it. You know, I think so many times we miss it. You know, we do have our volition and we must choose to ask God for help. And a lot of times we neglect that, but he is a perfect high priest. He is able to help us in anything that we need help with.
I agree. And it's very, very comforting to me to know that he's willing to step down and he understands what we're going through because he's faced a lot of things. Granted, he didn't have to deal with computers, but yeah, I'm convinced that's one of the reasons why he was still able to be holy. But that somewhat digresses from how much he can relate to us and how much he loves us and that we can take that power and take it into every day. So is there any other special Easter things that you would love to share with us?
Well, you know, I know one thing we were talking about before is how people will try to have different theories where they basically say, well, the body was stolen away. Well, scripture even tells us that in Matthew 28, 12 through 15, that, let's go do this. And then everyone will believe the story.
Yeah.
So this is where a high view of scripture is necessary. And part of biblical criticism that is going on today and has really since like the 1800s is this notion that we look down and judge scripture instead of actually believing and having a high view of scripture.
Yeah.
And so the evidence is clear in scripture. You know, we see that over 500 people were witness to that. Scripture says he was presented himself to other people. And we can also look at extra biblical material and see that there's proof that Christ rose from the grave. And so I think so often we can listen to people who kind of put it down, but as Christians, we need to stand on the word of God. We need to not be ashamed of what Christ has accomplished and to live that out so people can see the resurrected life in us. If we're living as defeated Christians, not in Christ's identity, but walking in our own fallen identity, then we're not exemplifying that to the world. They see Christ in us.
Yes. Yes, they do. And in light of Easter and Jesus being able to relate to us in that power of the resurrection, what would you say to encourage someone to pursue the passion that God has placed in their hearts?
I don't know how many times I've come and I've said, Lord, I don't know what you've called me to. We have different intersections in our life where maybe it's a trial we've come through and life just is so hard.
Yeah.
We kind of wonder, how can you use me, God? And I think it's so simple, we miss it. You know, you're going out to the grocery store. Where is the Samaritan woman by the well who might need you to speak into her life?
Yeah.
How are you loving your family? You know, they're the closest neighbor we have.
Yeah.
And the greatest commandments that we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Are we doing that? Mm-hmm. And when you're not doing that, this is where the gospel comes in.
Yeah.
And you know, this is where you say, God, help me. Help me to live like you. And we got to be people who are in his word. If we're not in scripture, and hear me, I know we hear that a lot. Make sure you read your Bible. The Holy Spirit works in powerful ways. If you will just be faithful.
Yes.
To just rise up, Bible reading plans, they're everywhere. Download it. Even if it's, you don't read the perfect plan, it doesn't have to be perfect. You just position yourself to be used by God when you seek him. And then you ask him where that, what that looks like in your life. I think a lot of times we think, I'm only really being used by God if I have a huge following.
No, not so much.
No, he didn't say, do this, but make sure you have a following first.
Yeah, no, he just said do it.
Serve me.
Yeah.
Look at what's around you right now. How can you serve him and be grateful for what he's done and live out that resurrected life?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you so much, Denise. And if someone wants some more information or connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, they can go on to denisepass.com. I also have a YouTube channel where every week I put this new Theology at Home, Theology Thursday. I just want to encourage people that theology isn't beyond them, that we're to live that out. And so I'm trying to take principles in theology and apply them to our life. And the Bible Tribe podcast is on there as well, where it's an opportunity for people to be encouraged.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Denise. I really appreciate it and thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart. I pray you will carry the power of Easter into the rest of your year. Because of Easter, you have the power to untangle any lies, conquer any fears, and pursue whatever God has placed in your heart. And to give you some more hope, please check out my website, lisagranger.com, and get your free Verses of Hope.